Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jay Williams, and joining me today for a third week in a row is Christoph Katzbeck.
Hi.
That was the weird
high. LA was kind of a weird high.
Is that what happens when you get into a rhythm?
Yeah.
3 weeks, you're like, I'm taking off. I was trying to be really focused and sounding really professional, and then I'm just like, you know what? I'm just gonna wing it. And what comes out is hi.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
No, I'm sorry. I went radio mode for a moment.
Kind of like old
radio mode.
103.5.
I was seven North. Here, but it's okay.
Oh, I was just making up numbers.
You're just close.
Was it 103.7?
Yeah, I used to work for 103.7. Yeah. I think it's Hometown Radio now. It used to be a country station.
Hometown Radio.
But then they swapped and now it's, anyways, yeah.
I don't think most kids really know what radio is.
No, they have no idea. I don't think, at least. Maybe it's just the thing that when mom and dad turn the car on and the aux cord isn't plugged in yet, and so radio comes in, they're like, oh, what is that sound? What are you playing through your phone on Bluetooth?
Yeah.
I'm not.
So I'm not going to mention any names, but I have a child.
You do?
Who just got a driver's license.
Yes,
so I'm not going to mention any names.
No names.
It was funny because the car he inherited to drive is the car we brought him home in the hospital with, which is fun.
Wow.
And he immediately looked at it. It was like, well, how am I going to play music in here?
Yep.
And because it had a radio and a CD player, like it does have a CD player. It's not even a tape deck.
Yeah.
And so he was so excited because he told me about this great invention. He's like, no, it's so great. You plug it into your car and then I can play through Bluetooth on this device. And I'm like, yeah, like an FM transmitter.
No. Yeah.
It's this thing. You just plug it in and it's just, this program. I was like, yeah, it's an FM transmitter. The quality is terrible. No. It sounds good. And I just thought it was funny because I was thinking about, you know, back before, you know, when you had tape decks and you'd put in remember the tape deck?
Oh yeah.
That was like wired to the CD player.
Yep.
And then you had the FM transmitter.
I still use one of those up until last summer.
The tape deck?
Yeah,
thing?
The tape deck thing in our old minivan. I would
Seriously?
Use that with a cord, and then I would have to do an adapter from the cord to the iPhone, and I would play it. Yeah.
Can I just say that technology still escapes my brain of how that actually works? The
me
transmitter
too. Yeah.
I understand, but the tape deck, How does it in an analog way transmit?
I have no idea. I don't know.
That's like walking on the moon kind of stuff right there to me.
Yeah, I worked in radio for years. And I still have no idea how that works. And I use the carts. I use the tape. Like I've used those and I have no idea. No, it's incredible.
It is amazing. So I just thought it was funny that he did not understand a world where you don't have Bluetooth. Like it's not even an aux cable anymore, which that car doesn't even have an aux cable. Like it's just CD player, a single disc CD player, and a
You remember radio. When CD players were like a big deal in cars? I remember when I was really excited when one of my friends got a vehicle with a CD player in it.
Yeah.
We were pumped. Yeah.
I had a trunk CD.
Oh, one of the trunk
changer.
Ones, like the six in there. And
six, yep. Yeah. So at a stop, you'd have to get out and like change the discs.
Because the six that were in there were not enough.
Right. Well, it felt like a ton of music. You know, that was back when you listened to a whole album, which by the way is better on a road trip. I like this whole idea. We will make a playlist, like a family playlist.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've just put a million songs on there and it'll last like for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, that's the end of the playlist. Man, the days of just listening to an album, which meant some songs that you weren't as excited about or whatever.
Yeah, the filler. Yeah.
But that would, you'd be like, okay, I've got like a 5-hour drive ahead of me. Then, you know, it's like 6 or 7 albums.
You know,
it depends on which ones you throw in there. Maybe 8, maybe 9 if you have, but you just, you'd know you could play
those
that
were,
many.
Those are the days. We would buy them and then we would wait till the weekend till we could just, and we would just drive around listening to albums. Like that was the thing. My friends and I did. We would drive around and listen to albums. Like that's when we
got.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Those
man.
Were the days.
All right. Well, these are new days and
yes,
you, we should be content about,
we
that,
should. Yeah.
About where we are with music.
Our current technological state. Yeah. We should be content. I think so.
Okay. And that's it.
Good conversation.
So thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it.
I hope that was helpful. So you preached, it's funny because there are a lot of people who said, yeah, I wouldn't have gotten contentment. I would not have taken this in the contentment direction. And I found myself thinking in my mind when they would say that, when they said that to me, like, yeah, neither would I. Yeah. I would also have not gotten that from it. So let me ask you that off the bat, because I do have some questions, and I wrote down, I took a lot of notes. And I'm curious, at what point did you look at this and say, you know what, I'm going to take this in a direction of contentment? Like, what was the question as you were reading it that made you think, I think contentment's the answer to this?
Yeah, I sat down and read it a handful of times, and I was praying. And, you know, the question that often rings in my head is, okay, you know, God, how do you want to speak to our church, you know, this Sunday morning? What is something our church needs to hear this morning, and specifically out of this passage? And as I was, you know, praying through that, this first section, because you gave me, you basically just gave me some verses. You didn't give me a theme, topic, anything like that. You just gave me some verses, and like, this is what you're going to preach. And what was really just ringing in my head was this idea of contentment, because I feel like I interact with, and not just other people. This is something that I've felt personally. It's something that I wrestle with. I wrestle with being content with where God has me, and in understanding what that means, like in not allowing it to make me be anxious. I think we live in this world that is filled with anxiety and stress, and I just feel like it all kind of centers in around this ball of being content with where God has you. And so, yeah, I could have taken this a lot of different ways. We could have really zeroed in on Lydia and her family, and I wanted to for a little while, or we could have talked about Paul and that missionary journey and how he was going around. But I really felt like contentment is just something that we need to seek more of in the church. And so that was that.
Okay. So can I tell you what your answer should be?
Well, are you actually asking me, or are you just going to say it anyways?
So, I was kidding. But no, that's helpful, because I was thinking, so here's what my train of thought went. So number one, this is the difference between preaching and teaching.
Sure.
In a sense. So preaching is about stirring affections and bringing what God has for a particular people in a particular place. Teaching the passage would be different. You mm-hmm. know, teaching the passage, you're going to go more into the context of it and where it is. And we do that a lot in our preaching. Like,
right.
There would be teaching aspects. But clearly, this is a passage about the Holy Spirit's intervention and not having Paul go where Paul desired, like leading Paul. And so you could have gone directions of like discernment of the Holy Spirit. Would be a very common way to preach this passage. Probably the way I probably would have gone down that road. But what I like about this with contentment is kind of a precursor or a helpful state of being to be able to discern the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because when we're not content, that clouds our ability to discern what God is leading us to do, right?
Right. And that's what really... Exactly. That's what really kind of stirred up in me mm-hmm. as I was reading this, is that it really feels like from a heart that is content in Christ, we then have clarity and discernment to ask the questions of, where are you leading me, Holy Spirit? And then even when the road bumps in life happen, I was even thinking in my life, because I think the first time I read through Acts, I was probably in my late teens, early 20s. And I remember coming across this passage and thinking it was hilarious, because I was like, what does it mean, the Holy Spirit forbid him? And then I just kind of went on and whatever. And now I've experienced, you know, 15 years of life after that. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that. I've experienced, you know, losing a job and having to deal with what's next for my family. I've experienced getting rejected from going to other jobs and not getting to go where I thought we were expected. And just sitting and having those questions and praying, okay, God, what are you expecting out of us? I've had those many times. And I think that reading this came a little more alive to me in light of the fact that I had those experiences.
Yeah, and I think so here's what I think would be really helpful, because there's so many times that people say, well, I just wish God would make it clear to me what I'm supposed mm-hmm. to do. And if you've been a part of our church for very long, you know that we often I often communicate that 98% of what you're called to do is already explicitly stated. God's already spoken
right.
through his word. Like, so wherever it's often that 2% of, you know, where am I supposed to do it or what official role am I supposed to have? But regardless of, you know, whether you marry this person or that person, how you're supposed to live as a married person is very clearly, you know, laid out for us, and that we're called to be a neighbor who loves their neighbor, and we're called to be a worshiper of God. We're called to, like, all these different things. It doesn't matter where we are or what our actual role is, or, but even so we do say that, but at the same time, even on a day-to-day basis, I believe the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, and listening to his voice in both small things and big things is critical. And so when people are asking that question, well, how do you hear from the Holy Spirit? What I felt kind of convicted of in this message was, how often I miss talking about the place from which we are able to listen.
Yeah.
So again, this goes to this question of contentment. And I think we don't realize how a lack of contentment does make it harder for us to hear God's voice. Because let's face it, if we want something, if we're not content, if we think this other thing is the better thing, then we will be able to justify it in all kinds of ways. We will run through all kinds of stop signs because we're just really sure, like, this is what I want. And so I was just trying to think through, like, well, how do you deal with that? And how do you get to that place where you are able, because from a place of contentment, when I just say, okay, whatever God gives me in this moment, or whatever road he asks me to go on, I will with that, I'll be content. So much so that Paul says that in Philippians, where he's saying, like, this is actually the secret, you know, the secret to everything, exactly, is to be content in Christ. Like, the secret to walking whatever road, if the road is one of blessing or one of suffering or one of wealth or one of poverty or one of health or one of illness, like, whatever that road is, the secret to dealing with all that is to be content in Christ.
I'm actually kind of surprised I didn't use that on Sunday morning. You said that, and I'm like, that was actually written to the church in Philippi, where he ended up going through, and I did not quote that for
which
some reason.
Don't worry, I mean, that's another thing behind the scenes. Do you know how many times I have preached, and I'll be done, and somebody will come up to me, and they'll say, you know, that really reminds me of this passage, and I'm thinking, that is a million times better illustration than what I used, but it just missed it, but that's not a big deal. So here's what I think would be helpful at this point. There are a couple of things that you said that I highlighted that I thought, this is helpful if you want to get to a place. So if you want to get to a place where you're able to hear the Spirit and you realize, like, I need to be in a place of contentment. You know, how do I get there? Like, what things should I consider? What should I meditate on? One of the things you said, is the understanding that God is not withholding something. He has something better.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a very basic statement that we have a really hard time of grasping in our hearts. Like, it's not a hard intellectual statement to grasp.
Yeah.
We have multiple examples in our own lives where we have been the giver of something where we're saying, hey, I say this to my kids all the time. Like, I'm not trying to withhold something good from you. Like, if they want to eat ice cream all day, like, I'm not actually withholding something good. I've got something better for you, which is namely not having a stomach ache, you know, like, or a healthy body or whatever the case is. And so how do you deal with that when you say, okay, because there are times where it feels like, well, gosh, it sure does feel like God is withholding this thing. I want this thing. This thing doesn't seem to be inherently evil, but God, or it could even be good, which, and we're in that situation with Paul, like, his desire that he wants, it's not like he wants to go vacation on an island and just forget about anything and be, you know, lavished with food and drink and gifts. That's not what he's wanting to get. It's not like, I want to go do this, and, well, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me, and so now I got to go share the gospel. Like, he wants to go share the gospel. So what he wants is a good thing. How do you minister to yourself and deal with the fact that there are times where it feels like, no, it does really feel like God is withholding this good thing?
I think, so I mean, this is just going to be a repeat of what I said on Sunday, but
that's okay.
But I think that
it. I wasn't listening.
Okay. I think the. To me, it's a big trust thing, right? Like God is growing us in our trust of Him, in growing our faith in Him, and I've found that when that happens, my what I'm putting my hope in is revealed. It's kind of like this idol check, and so how do I gain contentment? Well, I preach the gospel to myself. I remind myself that, first of all, that's just not like on a deep soul level, like it is 100% true that He has not withheld anything from me because he gave Himself for me, which is incredible.
Right.
Like, so on a very foundational soul level, like I have to remind myself that I was created by Him. I rebelled against Him. I was forgiven by Him. He has given me a new spirit. And that he's walking with me, you know. And I have to preach that to myself daily, because when I do run into those bumps where there's something that I clearly want, and I go, this is the thing that I want, I have to remind myself that God, not only does He know what is the better thing, but that He, being good, has given Himself so that whatever it is good ultimately.
Right, because He is the better thing.
Well, exactly. Yes.
I mean, that's
thank
the
you.
Thing.
Yes.
And that's what I hear you saying. That He is better. And this has been a theme where you're talking. I just feel like a lot of the people in our church right now are dealing with roads that they don't want to go down. And I've multiple times in the past few months had to give the counsel of, if you have these two roads, and you know, it does not matter how inviting this road looks. If you know Jesus is on this other road, like the question is, do you believe that being with Him is better? And abiding in Him is actually better. And so I think like that's what it ends up getting. Cause it's not saying that the circumstances of this other road are better.
Right. Right.
So if you're saying, okay, I wanted health, but I was diagnosed with this illness. Well, nobody's going to say having cancer is a better circumstance than not having cancer. But having cancer, abiding in Christ, is absolutely better.
Yes.
Than not having cancer without Christ.
Exactly.
And that is a statement that will be foolishness to those who do not believe.
And that's what you know Paul says,
right?
Is like the wisdom of the world is foolishness,
right?
You know, or the wisdom of Christ is foolishness of the world,
right?
You know, and
yeah.
Okay.
Well, the sentiment is that yes.
Because
it doesn't make sense, and this is where we get into trouble in Christianity, where we try to make everything make sense to a non-believing world. This at its core will not make sense. If you say to someone who does not believe, if you were to say having cancer with Christ is better than not having cancer without Christ, that makes no sense.
Correct. Yeah.
To the world. And I would argue that it doesn't, like, there's our flesh. I wouldn't just argue, but it doesn't make sense to our flesh. But in our spirit, something calls out that is true. And that is a source of Paul's contentment, is he believes that. And so I think that's one really helpful thing, is whatever road you're on, is it's not just that, okay, well, I know God will make this thing better, and He will. There will come a day where that road will actually end, like wherever that road ends is better, is objectively better than where this other road ends. But that may not be revealed until eternity. You don't know. But actually abiding in Christ is better even now. So I think that's one thing, is to confront that when we're struggling with a contentment, is to say, God is not withholding any good thing. He who did not withhold His own Son, how we would not with Him graciously give us all things, like all good things. He's not stingy.
Right.
If He's withholding something from me, it's because it is not ultimately for my good. And like a child doesn't understand why they can't eat ice cream all day, we also cannot understand well, God, why wouldn't You just make everything? Why would You not make me prosper in everything I do? because that isn't actually for our good.
Because that's actually going to steal you. That thing could potentially steal your joy in Christ, which is like, why would we want it then?
Right.
If that's what it's going to do, why would you want it?
Right. And so that was one thing that you said I thought was really helpful. Another thing that I think is really helpful in this kind of discerning how to deal with contentment and listening to the Spirit is that you said contentment is not complacency.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why I love that and why I think that's critical. So I'm someone that struggles with contentment.
You, the vision caster, the one who's...
Right. I know, it's shocking. Shocked, yeah. Like, shocking. I'm constantly like, you know what you should do is this. Like, I'm never...
I'm scared to ever bring any ideas up to you because all of a sudden, like, something that was like, I think I should plant a garden. And you're like, you should plant 1,000 trees down in Brazil. Yeah. No, that's not what I'm saying, Jay. Like...
Like, bigger, better. Like, I've always, my whole life, have struggled with contentment. It's actually something God has done in me in the last several years as I has brought contentment in my heart, but not lost my vision casting.
Yeah.
And so, but that has come in Christ and it's come through a lot of sanctification and hardships. But this contentment is not complacency. Here's what I love about this is that there are people. So for a person like me who always struggle with contentment and often it manifests itself in wanderlust or always thinking like the next hill is like, we got to take the next hill or the grass is greener or, you know, it'll be even, you know, just, I like a new idea or whatever. Their fear is complacency because complacency is bad. And so the person who struggles with contentment will often confuse those two terms and make contentment something that should be avoided rather than understanding that complacency is not the same thing. And so it'll be almost a straw man argument like, well, I don't want to be complacent and making those a synonym. And so there are people who would say like, well, contentment, like, well, then I'm going to have a boring life, like, because they think of it as complacent. On the other side of the coin is the person who thinks that they're content, but they're actually complacent.
Right.
So they're both confusing the terms. It's important for both people, both the person who's always chasing something new, to understand that contentment is not the same thing as complacency. So you don't need to be afraid of becoming complacent to be content.
Right.
But the person on the other side who looks like they're content, but they're actually complacent, they've also confused the terms. And so they're just kind of coasting through life and, you know, and happy and calling it contentment.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw that in the passage, right? So even though in Acts 16, Paul and his crew are denied access into Asia and then Bithynia, they keep going. They don't right. stop. They keep going. And something that was really helpful for me, I was just thinking, you said the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side. And I feel like I've talked to a lot of people who just have that stirring up in them of like, I would rather be this place because of this, this, and this. And I mean this in a kind way, is like, I'm not saying just, if you're imagining two fields and one field is a bunch of dead grass and the other field is a bunch of luscious grass that you want to go over to, just as much of an action to pick up a watering can and start watering your grass, you know, it's amazing to me that we go and we look like, oh, I just want to go where the grass is greener rather than going, well, how is God going to use me here to grow this grass? Both require action. It's right. not like you're just going to sit around and do nothing.
Right, which would be complacency. To
exactly.
Just be like, oh, I'm fine with the brown withered grass around me. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's complacency.
Yeah, and that's no good. That isn't good. The grass then is, by definition, greener on the other side. But the solution to the grass being greener on the other side sometimes is not going to the other side. It's sometimes just watering your lawn.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's another helpful, like, if you're dealing with a lack of contentment or if you're battling complacency, to remember that, yes, being content is an active pursuit. It's not passive.
Yes, absolutely.
Contentment is active. You would not look at when Paul talks about being content in all these circumstances. All the circumstances he talks about are not neutral circumstances.
No, and so there was something that I was going to mention on Sunday, and I didn't get to, and part of the reason I didn't get to it is because you've preached on it a number of times. That's always stuck to me, is you look at a majority of the examples of Jesus' ministry, he almost always uses the small things to make big things. And so I think part of the reason we get complacent is because we see this other thing that we want to go and do. It's big. It's awesome. We get excited about it. Rather than the small things that are happening right in front of us that we don't think about God using. So when I say water your field, sometimes it's just a patch. Sometimes, you know, that watering is just a patch, but God's going to do some incredible things with it. The crazy thing is that sometimes we look at some of the bigger events that happen in Jesus' ministry, and it actually doesn't really, you know, I think of like the feeding, and then right after the feeding, you have a bunch of people that follow Jesus, and all they follow him for is the food and the bread, the food. And so I that was another thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about, and it just didn't feel like it fit right, is this idea that we sometimes, I think we allow ourselves to become complacent because we're not drawn to the smaller things, but it's oftentimes the smaller things that God uses in incredible ways.
Right. So both the person who is complacent and the person who has wanderlust, the thing they have in common is neither one of them do the small thing that's right in front of them that God's asking them to do.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because they're either looking to something else or they're not participating in what's there. But, and I think you did touch on that. You didn't use those words, but you did. I love the line where you said that Lydia, it may have seemed strange to Paul, like, why wouldn't you let me go where I wanted to go? But now I'm here in Philippi. That may have seemed strange to Paul, but it wasn't strange to Lydia.
Yeah.
Like to Lydia, this is like
incredible.
Like she's been waiting for this, and of course he's there. And I love that. And that is a great example of be faithful to what's right in front of you. If you are a person that struggles with contentment because you want your life to matter, you want to accomplish big things, you think there's something more to life, and you're driven in that way, understanding the economy of the kingdom, that the thing that is the path to that is to do the next faithful thing. Yeah. There's the phrase of like, do the next right thing, or just do the next thing. A lot of times people who have gone through a great tragedy, they just tell them like, hey, just do the next thing.
Yeah. Next step. Yep.
But I think of it from a spiritual journey of do the next faithful thing, whatever that is. It may be, you know, getting out of bed, opening your Bible. It could be talking to your neighbor. It could be going to your job and doing that job well. But each of those steps is like it's building, and God is using that. And so clearly we have that where Paul obeys the Holy Spirit, and now Lydia and her whole household and then more people are completely changed. Which, yes, I thought it was interesting. And we will go through, we're going to do an overview of Philippians. But it is interesting in that context. Well, no wonder Paul's talking about, you know, contentment. So it really does connect really well, because that's the lesson he learned in Philippi and wrote back to the church of like, hey, I've learned the secret in being content in all these circumstances. Like, it's Christ. And so that was, I think, another big one. The last one I wanted to point out that I thought was really great is you said contentment is infectious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how have you seen that? Like what stirred that in you, or have you seen that in your own life?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I feel like I can take that a few directions, but I think the first one is, you know, I think the world is yearning for contentment. Like I don't think that that's a uncommon desire throughout the world. And so I think when you talk to people who are, and we exist in a time that is, I said it before, stressed and anxious, and there's a lot of discontentment going on in the world. When you can prove, or when you can show that you're content in something, someone's going to go like, how could you go through this and believe that there's something better for you? You know, we were talking about this better, because the world doesn't say that. The world says, you know, okay, whatever is better is like the actual thing, and you got to go and get that thing. And if you don't go and get that thing, then you're not going to be content. You're not going to be happy. You got to go and get that. Go. And it transcends, I think, what the world is selling. It just is better. And people are going to see that. If you are living life with others, they are going to see that contentment on display. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that's the gospel, right? Like, I think that's the aroma of life that Paul talks about. And we have to be, like, I think that's part of the reason why we need to intentionally be living with other people in our sphere. We need to be good neighbors. We need to be talking to our neighbors and spending time with them and our coworkers. And because that contentment that God's going to breed in you, he wants to breed in others. And he has shown throughout the course of his gospels that he's going to do it through his people. They are the vehicle by which he is going to spread his good news. And you don't miss out on that. So
yeah, I think that's so good. And it is, like, contentment is just, it's not a part of our culture. There are cultures over the course of history that have been more predisposed to
sure.
contentment and valuing contentment. But when you talk about, like, the American spirit and ingenuity and just pursuing and taking risks and all that, like, that's, our country is kind of founded on some of that. That doesn't necessarily equate to a culture that really values contentment. And so we see that in all of our different life stages. And I think part of that is again, it kind of goes back full circle to what you said about just trusting that God is not withholding any good thing from you, and that whatever season he has you in life, like, be content in that. There are different seasons to life. And we often think, you know, when we're really busy, we wish that we weren't so busy. And when we're not busy, we're bored and wish that we had more going on. And, like, because the circumstances are never, we never have the exact yeah. right amount of things.
It's a constant tension. Yeah. yeah
I don't really think I've like ever it. Had anybody, when I ask them, like, hey, how's your week been? We joke about that. Like, if you ask people in Northeast Wisconsin, how's your week been? The answer you're going to get 90% of the time is busy, but good.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Know, because we can't, you got to complain just a little bit, but not enough to make it look like you're weak. And so, sometimes it's busy and hard. But
who are you? Okay, who are you looking forward to going and talking to? If you're in a room and you know you can go and say, "Hey, how was your weekend?" to somebody, and you're going to hear,
the
busy. Like, or you could talk to somebody who's like, "Oh, it was a joyful weekend. Let me tell you all the stuff I did."
Yeah,
like you want to go talk to that person,
because that's what when you're content and you believe that God isn't withholding anything, then you know that if God gave you a really busy weekend, then it's for your joy, and
right.
and you're gonna. I've definitely talked with people who say, you know, it was joyfully busy. Like, it was full.
Yeah.
So those are the words we use. Like, we'll say it was full.
Yeah.
And I've just been thinking about that. Like, I don't want to say busy. Busy means too frantic, right? Like,
yeah, it was just packed with too much stuff. It was
over,
too much.
Overstuffed.
Yeah.
But full is like, oh, my cup is full.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had a lot of visitors lately, you know, some friends we haven't seen in a long time, and others that we've seen more regularly, and but that means that it's full.
Yeah.
So yeah, is it busy? Does it mean like it kind of, you know, it sometimes changes our plans and changes things, but we're gonna be content in that because God is giving that. And then there's gonna be other seasons. There's kind of a natural rhythm to the calendar, you know, where we're gonna enter a season, you know, when it gets winter and cold and dark and nobody's going out for ice cream at five o'clock when it's pitch black outside.
I mean, speak for yourself.
Right?
So
maybe some people are, but it's, you know, people start to kind of, I think, going with those rhythms and being content in that. But that's a little bit of a tangent and a rabbit trail. But really, I'm just thinking, I want to give help because I just know that for so many of us, contentment is hard. I mean, you want to see it again? Ask about the weather.
Oh yeah. Like, isn't that true?
It's too hot or too cold. It's rare. The three answers that you're going to get is like, it's too hot, it's too cold, or yes, it's beautiful, but it won't last.
Right. Right.
Like, there's never, and it's always the spirit of discontentment. Like if I either want it to be warmer, I want it to be colder, or I'm discontent because it's not going to last. And like, rather than just saying, man, I'm content in these circumstances. Like, this is the day that God has given us.
Yeah. Let's find joy in it.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's raining, he's given us the gift of rain, and there's beautiful gifts in that. And if he's given us heat, if he's given us cold and snow, and if he's like everything outside of ticks, he has given us for our enjoyment.
And mosquitoes. We'll throw mosquitoes in there
yeah,
too.
Probably mosquitoes too. But like, you're right. And what, if we can have cultivate a culture of that and not fake joy or fake happiness of like, oh great, it's raining, but of like, man, when it's raining, there's something beautiful that's going on in there, and yeah. and to be content in those and know that this is what God gave me. If we can cultivate a culture, I agree with you that that is contagious.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And it's another example of how when we trust God as a church, there's something really attractive about that together. So my hope is that we can pursue that together. And so if you need help in that, we would love to help you.
Yeah. You can contact us. You can also contact us if you have any questions for the podcast, connect@faithpeshtigo.com. We're also on Facebook. We would love to connect with you, even if you're not in this area. If you're somehow listening to this podcast for whatever reason, we'd love to connect with you and find out how we can be praying for you or how we can help you out with that. So thank you for listening. And as you go in peace.